the heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Amen. God bless you, ladies.
I want to see you.
How do you want to see
you? See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. And lift it up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love.
He's worthy, isn't he?
Holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 holy. I want to see you.
Amen and amen. You want to see him? Just look into the Word. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. I forgot to give this announcement to Terrence, but there will be a special meeting September 1, 2, 3, and 4, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, at Brother Ron Spencer's. Brother Joe Green will be preaching, and Brother Kelly Hildebrandt will be preaching the services. So if you want to know any more about it, it's up here, the thing. I just forgot to give it to Terrence. But good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Remember also now that the fellowship meeting will be this coming Saturday at down at Brother Tony's. And are in Atlanta, and I keep saying Six Flags because it's over and it's where it's at, and they said it wasn't going to be there, it's going to be it's a church. But anyhow, that will be there. If you want to go with us, let us know, and we'd be glad to for you to ride with us down and back, and all. So just remember that. And also remember now that Brother Keith Brown will be here preaching for the weekend, and so keep in prayer, you know, keep him in your prayers that the Lord would bless. Any other announcements? Brother Quinn will be here with us on the 7th, I believe it is, of August. So remember that one. Amen. You'd like to turn back in your scriptures, turn where we've been reading in Ephesians 1, and we've been reading from Romans 8 in Ephesians 1. So just keep these scriptures open and keep reading them. And I hope you're doing your assignments of, like, listening to it's the rising of the sun, go on into Easter seal, just listen to the whole message, Acts 65, and you'll see what we're trying to talk about. But remember especially these, that we're trying to give you a little in advance to be able to get a better understanding, okay? Ephesians 1 and Romans 8. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you for all things. You said you gave them to us freely, and we believe you. We just ask you to help us and guide us tonight because, Lord, we want to say what you want us to say, and we want to do what you want us to do. And we thank you for all the things that you have given us, what you have revealed unto us. And, Lord, we pray that you would just open our understanding then of the scriptures, that we may see the hour that we're living and be able to walk therein. Forgive our sins, because we want to be covered by the blood, and just have your way and keep each one of us, Lord. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 1, and then we'll go to Romans 8. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him. Now, where were we chosen? We were chosen in him. You say, well, no, I chose him. No. We were chosen in him when? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto adoption, unto the adoption of the children of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now let's go, and we'll go to Romans 8. I want to start with verse 5. We read these Sunday there and just mentioned a little bit, and I told you we'd come back to this, but I want you to get what you know, get to point tonight of what we're talking about the quickening spirit of Almighty God. All right, for verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, now watch, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. All right, now, if it dwells in you, you're not after the flesh. You're after the Spirit. All right. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So you may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we have been trying to get a place to say what I wanted to about this part tonight, and so just pray that the Lord would help us to be able to deliver what we're thinking on. And I was listening there the other day, and especially Sunday afternoon when Wade was ministering, and the Lord spoke to me about the scripture we've been reading there, where in Ephesians. So, you know, maybe I need to keep preaching on it a while. Maybe he'll speak some more to me, but we just keep going. Now, we're trying to get a point across, and what is our point? We're not concerned about the change of the body. Sure we are, because we want it to take place. All right. But I don't believe that it's an automatic process of just a day coming or a time or a bus pulls up, you know, and you go get in the bus and off the way you go. I've never believed it that way. I believe it's got to be something coming from inside of you. Right. All right. And in doing that, see, coming from the inside, then it's got to be that we recognize the word of the age that we're living and recognize what age we're living in, recognizing our day in its message. All right? And see, that's what I've been trying to get to you, and that's why I chose our Sunday morning to just read there of Romans 8 and show you that Paul, when he got over there speaking, verse 23 of the 8th chapter, you know, to wit the redemption of the body, to understand the redemption of the body, then he goes on to express to us, you know, the thing that will take place that will cause us to come to that position. And I've just made the announcement, but I'm not going to get on it tonight. I've just made an announcement and asking you, and that way it'll help us when we read it, is for you to look up translation, glorification, glorified, glory, etc. Look those things up, and when we get back to it, we'll try to minister on that. Because, see, they asked the prophet one time, and this will show you kind of where that I will be going to, but not tonight, but they asked him in Conduct, Order, and Doctrine, they said, what will that translation be? You know, the great translation. He said, just a change. Now, it was a simple matter to him. And he expressed how that would take place. So, you know, that's why I done like I did with Paul. I said, now, Paul, what is it that we must come to? He says, an understanding. An understanding of the redemption of the body. All right, Paul, how can that take place? He said, well, first, you know, as we read here in verse 11, you know, if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead be in you, it'll also quicken you. All right. Now, so he gave us the key to see, and Brother Branham said only the predestinated will be quickened. Amen. Now, he's talking about quickening power to those that are living, not the quickening power to, not the one in the grave will have to receive, all who go by the grave will have to receive a pulling up, yes, a bringing forth, but we're not dealing with that because we are alive people. We shouldn't even consider the point of saying that, well, I guess I'll just have to go by the grave. You know, well, you know what? That's exactly where you're going. Because that's exactly your confession, and God makes a intercession upon our confession according to the Scripture. But if we confess that we're going to be changed, then He can reveal that to us and bring it to pass. You agree? All right. See, then in doing that, then Paul, he says that those who He justified. Now, that's not talking about just getting born again. I tried to express that to you because he says there, when you get on over about Romans 8 and 30, those who He justified, He hath already glorified. All right. Now, see, we've got to come to a place to understand that, you know, the revealing of the Word is the most important thing to us. Now, not just our understanding of it opened. Did you remember that message? I tried my best to preach on it as good as I could. That the disciples, see, there they gathered, you know, before the Holy Ghost came, and Jesus met among them and opened their understanding of the Scriptures. But that did not give them the new birth, because John could say, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." That didn't give him the new birth. Because Mary would say, "Be it unto me according to thy word." That still didn't give her the new birth. See? She had to still go to Pentecost to receive that new birth. All right. In doing that, then, let's don't deal with just the fact that, well, you know, I'd never seen that. I remember one time we were sitting in a church, and they were just rejoicing because this certain brother said, "Well, you see there, that's found in Mark, or at least John. John 6:66. You know, and that was given the Scripture, you know. John 6:66. He says, "See, there's 666. Everybody just rejoicing. Well, you know, that was wonderful. That's fine. But that didn't give me any rejoicing because that had always been there. It had always been 666. It had never changed. But see, that was just, the point was, what contacted them? What made them, you know, and like I've told you many times then, you know, when they found those last 24 messages that, you know, of Brother Branham's that hadn't been found, well, you know, the people were just elated to find it. And I was too, because to hear the message. But to them it was, maybe we'll find something in there that'll change us. And it's like some kind of a deal that happens, or, you know, the other is just, well, we're sitting back waiting. We're just waiting on a bus to pull up. And it'll just pull up one day and we'll be gone. See? Now, I don't want to do that. I've always been one that wanted to get out and go, and especially to be early when I'm going and all of that. I want to get there first, you know. And when Brother Harris and I went to Jamaica years ago, that was my first airplane flight, and I told him, I said, "Well, first one, I guess, we'll go first class." Because I knew where first class was on the airplane. It's up front. I said, "Whether the plane lands or falls, I'll be the first one on the ground." You know, because I've always liked to be up and going, you know. But now think about what we're trying to say. Paul said, "Those who He justified, He hath already glorified." Now, if we could just see that. See, if we could just see what He's trying to tell us, we would stop trying to be to a position of some way of attaining justification, or some way of attaining to some secret coded way of finding a glorification that we could walk into, or whatever could take place. We would stop that, and we would start realizing that God's Word said what we are. We don't have to get something else. The prophet didn't come to tell us anything else. He come to tell us the Word said who we are. Amen. All right? See, in doing that, then we look at it and we see that what? As I said, Paul said in verse 11, how's this going to take place? If the Spirit of God be in you. The one that quickened Jesus up will quicken you up. All right? Simple matter. Simple point. What is it? New birth. All right? Then what have we been trying to preach about the new birth? That the day you receive the new birth? Because it's easy to understand the soul to go through justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the plan of redemption. It's easy to see the world from what the prophet has spoken to us that, you know, in the days of Noah it was justified. In the days of Jesus, sprinkling his blood on it was sanctified. And one day it'll get a fiery baptism. So, all right, but now what about our bodies that we live in? But see, the day that he gave you that new birth, right there, your body was redeemed. He said, but look at us, we're getting older, and look what's taking place. Well, fine, but look what Jesus took place, and the prophet said his body was redeemed there on the River Jordan. And look what he went through. See? But then, see, don't get something like that, that you're making it something that it cannot be. See? Make it be to what is doing. And that's the point of tonight, is to get us to see that we've got to be quickened to this word. Amen. All right? Now, quickened to the word of the hour. We're not being quickened to the word of Luther's age, Wesley's age, or the Pentecostal age. Even though that's part of the story. But it's not to just be quickened to those things. It's not even to be quickened back to the book of Acts. See? But it's to be quickened to the age that we're in. And I'll get to it in a minute. We'll see the prophet said those things. All right. But see, quicken. Paul said it will quicken your mortal bodies. Now, as I said, if we look at it like the Bible says it, then your body's already glorified. Amen. That's what God says about it. Amen. See? We've got to get to the point to say what he says. Right. Right. See, he said it was already over. Right. We get into trying to figure out the mechanical side of what anything is instead of just believing what is said, and then read the mechanical side right out of the Bible, you know. Read the verses right out of the Bible and see it. And see, that's exactly what the Bible said. Paul, how are we going to be chained? Be chained a moment, twinkle of an eye? What's going to take place? The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the message. See? We know all of that. Well, why are we looking for something instead of looking at what we're talking about? See? And seeing what God says about us. See? And that word quicken means to be make alive after death. Now, I gave you some quotes. I probably won't use them. I'll just quote off what it's on there to do it, but you've got them where you can read them later. But think about what it says. Quicken is to be make alive after death. All right. Now, according to Ephesians 2, 1 through 5, let's just read that one. I want to get this scripture in right here. Look at Ephesians 2. Let's just get this into our understanding, and we'll see what's taking place. And we'll see the Bible is telling us not what has been, not what will be, but what we are right now. Amen. All right? So look at the scripture. And you hath he quickened, who were what? Dead in trespasses and sins. All right? So quickened means to be made alive after you're dead. So where were we? We were dead in trespasses of sin. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. Huh? We, as human mortals, see? What? Lost. Just like the world was lost. See? According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, you know that same one was working in you and I? We was lost. We was dead. See? All right. Among whom also we all, and I got a big circle around we all, had our conversation, which manner of life and way of doings is what it's meaning, in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, as Wade was bringing out Sunday, see, and of the mind, Sunday afternoon, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Oh, no, I've always been. Oh, yeah, you're sure deceived, too. Oh, but Brother Dale, I've always been. Yeah, okay. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace, you're saved. All right, now he's quickened us. He's made us alive. All right? Now, he give us the new birth. He made us alive. All right? Now, making us, look at Colossians. Let's just get a few scriptures. Look at Colossians 2. And you'll see that it's the same as Ephesians in the basis of what it's saying. 2 and 13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. I ran off this. I won't give it to these. I'll just tell you kind of where to read. But sometimes when you have an opportunity, read Psalms, especially 119. All right? You'll find that the psalmist David is asking the Lord a lot of times to quicken him. One time he says, quicken me to your way. One time he says, quicken me to your word. See, he knew that he was dead and needed to be quickened or made alive. All right? So is it now here? Look at 1 Peter. Just get a few scriptures, then we'll get back on to our point. 1 Peter 3 and 17. Excuse me. I got 3 and 17, but I must have, it must be 2 Peter 3 and 17. But anyhow, it's talking about the that Jesus Christ was quickened. Okay. I'm just looking at verse 17. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the spirit, in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And he went to preach to the souls that were in prison. All right? Now, quickening power. That's why I ask you to listen to the message or read it of the, it's the rising of the sun, because Brother Branham spends all of his time on that message covering the things of the quickening power. See, and covering it, he covers it like this on page 10, number 2 on your notes. I gave it to you from Easter Seal, that we are quickened to eternal life. Right. Now, we were quickened to eternal life, because there's no need of talking about the body and its redemption until you see the soul and its redemption. Amen. Because it's got to work from the inside. Amen. See? Because as I said, the prophet said, it said only the predestinated are considered in redemption, or the only the predestinated are to be quickened. See? Because nobody else can't be. You can't quicken. You got to quicken the person from death to life before you can consider what even Paul is talking about. Before you can understand anything, we've got to come to the new birth. And getting to the new birth, see, then we can see that not only now does that new birth quicken that soul and give you eternal life. Right? It also now, listen, quickens, Paul said, your mortal body. All right? Now, you said, but now we're still the same person after we're born again. See, you wouldn't have said that if I hadn't come to that point, to that basis, but that's our thoughts. All right? See, that's true. We're the same person in body. But when God came in to live in you and I by the new birth, Paul carries it not on to the change. You know, that's wonderful. That'll be there. But he carries it to the fact that we are already quickened in our mortal body. Well, it's just getting older, and it's just, you know, I'm still having problems and still having, but see, you're looking at the wrong thing.
Amen.
You're looking at circumstances instead of looking at what God says.
Amen.
Now, do you understand why I've been trying to drive the point? When you got that new birth, it quickened your soul to eternal life, right?
Amen.
All right? That's easy to follow. But then, see, we read in the scriptures that it quickened your mortal body. Why would you be sitting here tonight? I'll just go into that part of it. If God hadn't quickened you, you'd still be back in organized religion, wouldn't you? See, he quickened us to this message. That's the quickening power the prophet was talking about on the rising of the sun. See, he quickened us to the message of the hour. Where would we be if he hadn't quickened? In other words, if he hadn't made alive to us the Word, we would still be sitting out there carrying the Baptist Bible, Presbyterian Bible, or Pentecostal Bible, or whatever, you know, believing their doctrine. See? If he hadn't quickened you. So then we're already started. Remember I gave it to you on the future home where Brother Brown said you're growing on? I gave you that two or three times, you know. Then it's in, who is this, Melchizedek? Where he said it's already started. See, the day you received the new birth, that quickening power, not only did it quicken the disciples to the basis that they, you know, received eternal life, it quickened their whole mortal beings, where at one time they were scared to go out. See? They were afraid to go out of that upper room. But when that Holy Ghost came, they go charging out of it. You know. All right? And see, not only did it quicken, as the prophet has said over and over to us, what? It quickened their tongues till they spoke in languages, other tongues and things. See? And I gave you one in there where Brother Ryan said, look at Philip. He said that quickening power was on him so much that it carried him about 150 miles. Picked him up. Now he calls that the quickening power. See? All right? Striking the body. Now come on, Philip went in body. He just didn't go in soul. See? It quickened him so much that he picked up his body. See? Then we talk about, and you've been through these, if you read those messages, where you hear Brother Brown saying what? That said there they Elisha had died and they buried him, you know. Bones and all rotten, everything was rotten away. With nothing but dust left. But they was carrying a dead man along. They'd had a battle. And they didn't want to, couldn't run very fast with him, so they just throwed him over in the grave. You know. Probably thinking, we'll come back and get him, you know, and bury him sometime. But he was dead, and they just throwed him over in there. Well, you know what? He come alive, he probably outrun them. Right? Because, see, the quickening power had struck him to bring him back to life. What about Elijah going across over there, you know, and he gets tired, the prophet said, he just steps over there and, you know, strikes the water and it just parts. He walks over. There's a chariot waiting on him. Quickening power to pick him up. What about Enoch? Now listen, I'm talking about quickening the bodies. Those in the Old Testament didn't have eternal life in their soul. They were only anointed. But see, the quickening power striking them so much until great things would take place. Look at Enoch. He just walked off the earth. Why? Because that quickening power of Almighty God. What about David? I killed a lion. I killed a bear. And that giant will be the same as they are. Why? Because he knew where he's standing. See? He could feel the power of God, the anointing upon him. What about Samson? See? Even though he wound up being a blind man, having to be led around, but he reached back there and caught hold of them locks. He found out that hair was growing. They just made a mistake because they thought, well, he's blind. He ain't no good like this. And the hair growed back out. But that quickening power was so strong on him until he just reached and got the building and just pulled it down. Quickening power. What about the three Hebrew children thrown into the fiery furnace? So much quickening power till the only thing that got burned was the things that they tied their hands with. The church, I'm talking about on the body now. Amen. We are quickened to eternal life by the new birth. Amen. But Paul is not covering that in the Romans of what we're saying. He's trying to explain, to give an understanding that he had to us of the, to wit, the redemption of the body. In other words, how it was going to take place. And it take place by the Spirit of God that's dwelling within you.
Right.
All right. And then we must come to a place to see that those who he called.
Right?
Now, see, many are called, but few are chosen. Right? But the few are chosen is what Paul's talking about, right? Yeah. Not the many that's called. He's talking about the few that are chosen. See, because we were chosen in him.
Amen.
All right. See, then Paul goes on, as I said, to explain then that in that new birth, see, will come something that will bring us to a place of an understanding that if we're justified, then we're already glorified. We're already glorified. But can we say what God says? See, that's hard to do sometimes.
Right.
You ever been so sick till you couldn't really even hardly say the words, I'm healed?
Right.
Yeah, but you are. People say, no, Brother Dale, I don't want to say I'm healed because I'm not healed and I'd be lying. Well, forget it then, because you're right. But you're lying when you don't say what God says. Because God says you're healed. They said to Brother Branham, said, Brother Branham, you told them people are healed. He said, I told them what the Bible said. He said, if I could just hear, thus saith the Lord. You want me to read it right out? Thus saith the Lord, by his stripes you're healed. See, the thing we got to do is what? Put ourselves there. Right? See, then Paul is not talking about just the quickening of the new birth. And Brother Branham is not talking about just the quickening of the new birth. He covers that in this Arising of the Sun. Easter sealed and all of those messages related. He's talking about the quickening of this body. As I said a moment ago, then look where you've been. Look where you came from. What brought you from there to here? Well, I just got fed up with that mess that's out there, and I seen it, and I just... Yeah. It's kind of like Brother said it. Brother Brown told this person, said, you had to fight your way all the way to Jeffersonville, and this other brother went to him and asked him, he said, what happened, any different? He said, nope, got in the car and drove up there. But see, Brother Brown said, you had to fight your way all the way there, so there's no telling what went on in the way of trying to stop him. But he just didn't realize it. He just went on.
Right.
See? Quickening power. Quickening power to quicken the mortal.
Right.
See, we can follow. We'll talk about the eternal life. We'll talk about we've got eternal life. Because, see, if we talk about having eternal life, then we're thinking, well, hey, I've got it made.
Right.
You know, if I die, I'm still all right. Now, I've got it made because I've got eternal life, and that's fine. But you know, somebody is not going to be able to have to do like that. We can't all keep doing that away. Yeah. Somebody's got to say, I'm already redeemed. Somebody's got to say, I'm already changed. Before God can make it come to pass. And it don't take but one person. You know what? Well, that's all it took in the days of Enoch. For Enoch to fulfill all of the Bible, he just walked off the earth. All right. See, then we ought to be to the basis of trying to say, listen, he's already quickened these mortal bodies. Now, if you read the notes I gave you in there, you'll hear the prophet saying it like this, especially, who is this Melchizedek? He said, we used to be in sin. I get kind of ticked off at all of us. I said all of us. We spend more time talking about how sinful we was and what we come from than talking about the God that brought us from there. You know, we want to glorify more the flesh than we do the God that saved us. See? I think it's time to get away from that and get on to the basis that we see God in his revealed word. See? And follow that to see the quickening power is to quicken these mortal bodies. You remember when you used to live for the devil? Right? Maybe not big. There's some among us that probably never went out and drank or smoked or committed adultery or all kind of things. Like, you know, I'll tell you this good thing, and it's really a good one. We were at the Bible study the other day, and the topic came up, and it came up about the kiss being potential adultery. Something came up like that, and I said, well, I can't raise my hand to say that I never kissed nobody until I married it, you know. And well, you know, we got a couple sitting among us that raised their hands that they'd never kissed nobody but their partner. The day they got married was the first kiss they got. That's Bob and Monica. Shake hands with them. Praise God for them. You know what that means, kids? That means you can do it. That means you don't have to yield all that stuff. I thank God. I rejoiced when they said that because, see, that's a rare thing. I can't say it, but they can. But listen, quickening us from the things we used to do. Now you know, when we were in sin, we followed sin. Right? We done like everybody else. As I said, maybe not on the biggest degree. I never did drink because I didn't want to. I just didn't want to. But that didn't make me a better person. It just made me one that I didn't have to. You know, I can tell you that you don't have to drink. I'd haul people in my own car, take them over to get the beer and stuff, and bring them back and set them out and still wouldn't drink it. Because I just didn't want to. But you see, my point is, kids, you don't have to do that. And for what I've heard all the rest of y'all talk about, you have to learn to like to drink beer. Well, why do you want to drink something that don't taste right the first time? I mean, if I got to learn to like something to drink it, I ain't gonna like it. You know, I'll get me some water. You know, but listen, think about tonight, just think about where you came from. You know, think about in your life what you came from. Think of the situations of life and how lost you was. You don't have no problems doing that, do you? I don't have any problems thinking about what I used to do. Do you? Well, think about it a minute. And you see, God saved you from that. When he gave you the new birth, it quickened that mortal body. All right? and it made you quit. You don't do those things anymore. All right? Now, is everybody following me on what I'm talking about? Well, see, bring it on up a little higher. Now, a lot of you claim the new birth. I don't, because I received the new birth after coming into the message. But a lot of you claim the new birth back before then, and I agree with it. That's fine. All right. But you remember when you had the new birth, that the churches you were in didn't teach against things. Right? Come on, sisters. You cut your hair, painted your face, and I'm giving you the out of it to say that you were ignorant of the truth. Now, if you tell me you received the Holy Ghost back there, that's fine. I'll believe with you. My point is this, because listen to what I'm saying. See, you done those things because you were ignorant to the truth. And it was not taught to you that it was wrong to do that. So you went out and done it. Men and women, both, all, you know. But you see, when you come into this message, did this message become a book of rules that we had to stop them things? Did it become a book of rules that we had to quit doing things? Or was it the opening of the Word that quickened our mortal bodies? See, we want to wait quicken over there until it's finally changed. It won't be changed if it's not quickened now. I gave you about three quotes in there where Brother Randall said that Holy Spirit quickened us to the Word. We come under subjection to the Word. Quickened to the Word. That when we heard it, maybe sometimes we quit because somebody told us. You ought to have seen me. But it was my family car. I had a beautiful 1956 Bel Air Sports Coupe Chevrolet. And I had it hand painted and we done everything to it. But it was my car. I didn't figure I was a hippie. But the first church I went to, there comes that hippie driving his fancy little car. Well, you know what? I sold it. Maybe I was in a legalistic form. But I didn't want them to keep talking about my fancy little, hippie car. Young person in his little car. It was my family car. It's the only thing I could afford. I finally sold it. Bought me a big old 88 Oldsmobile, four-door. Well, they did quit talking about my hippie car. See? But you understand what I'm getting at? Maybe sometimes we quit a lot of things before it's revealed to us. Right? I remember Sister Tatum and somebody, can't remember who the other person was, but they were talking about, that they had to dress this right and do everything because there was a certain brother said he's coming through and said he'll preach against it, and said we better dress right tonight because he's going to preach against it. Well, that was all right. That was commendable and respectable, But see, have we been quickened to the Word or is it a book of rules? Has our understanding been opened as to what men and women should be and look like and live like and act like? Is it just opening our understanding or is it a revelation in our heart? Which one is it? Because now you know yourself what I'm fixing to say is right. That you've seen a lot of people swore that it was revealed to them about how to live, what to do, not to do. And that same people backslid. And they went back to doing those things. Well, now, that wasn't no revelation, right? Wasn't a revelation. Now, if it was a revelation, they wouldn't have went back to doing them things. Of course, if it was a revelation, they wouldn't have backslid. Not as far as these went. But you know it's true. Yeah. The people that preached a lot of things out of our homes when I was coming into the message there in 66 and 67 and on in, a lot of things that was preached against, people turned around and went right back to it. And even worse. But that still don't make any difference. And like I said, maybe sometimes we just quit things on our own. You ever heard Brother Round say it like this? He said, now you sisters, because you got long hair and long dresses and things, he said, don't think that that makes you a Christian, in other words. So evidently he must have known something about it. He must know that a lot of them had that for just reasons or other than the fact of being converted. But get to the point of what I'm saying. Even after becoming Christians, the opening of the Word is what quickens us. Right? We're looking at it as an anointing of a Spirit to come down. See? Quickening. Some anointing of a Spirit to come down. See? Upon us. When I thought it was supposed to be from the inside. I thought that's what I was trying to get across to you there Sunday, that it's supposed to be from the inside. See? And that's the only way the change will ever come. See, there's plenty of people preaches that one day this anointing going to fall and it's going to change us. And everybody rejoices, glory, hallelujah, for because one day. Of course, if you lay them down on it, it's like I said about somebody say, oh, the Lord's coming, and you say, yep, real close. Now, this isn't an answer, but now nobody knows the date or the hour. Well, maybe 50 years from now, because they're thinking they're going to be dead. Well, is that the way the people are, the message? Screaming and hollering and doing and you know about things and then seeing the way they turn. Yeah. I remember when we went up to a certain brother's place and was having a minister's meeting there, and we walked into his house, and Brother Dick had come from a place to where that the pastor was pretty strong against Christmas trees, and he walked in, and there sat one in the brother's house all decorated, and he looked at me and he said, "Whoa, Brother so and so would like to be here." But you know what? It's like I told him about old Brother so-and-so. Same one. I said, you let them little babies come along. Oh, they got, no, man, they swore he'll never do that. I said, you let them babies come along. Well, when the wife got pregnant, first thing it was, now I'm not going to say nothing this year. Next year he had one. I'm not throwing off on nobody. Because what is for that might be the small little thing, me trying to get my two fingers, you know, compared to what lives you and I are talking about. Right? I mean, I'm just talking about what the prophet said, what the Bible said. The Bible didn't say it would just quicken the soul and then we'd get us a new body. I mean, no. The same man that tells us about the quickening of the soul says that while we are mortal, you know, in these elements we're living in, that we can be quickened or made alive and don't have to live like that anymore. But is it just a quote? And we say, oh yes, we drink all the liquor we want to. We smoke all we want to. We do it. Is that just a quote of some kind, or is that some kind of a hyped up situation to try to encourage other people or discourage other people or something? Is it real? Right. Quicken our mortal bodies. But you see, that's easy to look and just keep looking out there, and it's on out yonder, it's on out yonder, it's on out yonder. One day I'll get out there, one day I'll reach it, you know, like the carrot in front of the old donkeys pulling the buggy, you know. But the Bible doesn't talk about that. Paul doesn't speak like that, and neither does Brother Branham. Paul said we're already glorified. Paul said we was chosen in him before the foundation of the world. And that we're already justified, and we're already glorified. I was looking at something Brother Branham said today. He said, you know, in other words, let me paraphrase it because I can't remember exact wording, but he was saying it like this. If we were justified and glorified before the world, and that's according to the Bible and according to him, then we didn't have anything to do with it. See, now we jump. But wait a minute. Now, foreknowledge, he'd look down through. You know, he'd say, no, you ain't listening. If God glorified you before the world ever begun, it could not be on the basis of what you'll do or don't do, because at that time you hadn't done it. Oh, is that right? Before the foundation of the world, you hadn't done it. So it couldn't be just based altogether on what we call foreknowledge. Foreknowledge is a foreknowledge of what will transpire. He predestinated according to his word. We're not finished on predestination. I go a little bit on something and I move off of it, because Satan will get on there with you. People don't understand that. I've tried to explain that to ministers. That's what you see these doctrines appear from. But if you'll go a while, jump off of that, get on something else, hit it if it goes around, do it, and then after a while you come back and you just hit again and go a little bit. And that way Satan can't keep up with you. Now, you wouldn't understand that, so maybe I don't need to say it, but it's just the way that I do. I dropped off of predestination, got over on to another topic, and going on a little bit now. But listen, church. He quickened us to the truth. He quickened us to this message. As I said, most of you claim the new birth, or a lot of you claim the new birth, before you come into the message, right? And that can be. But he quickens you to the message. Yeah. Remember Sister Gail, her statement was, don't tell me and I won't be responsible. Because you see, that was our day. That was our times. I don't have to be responsible if I don't know it, so don't tell me. But you see, we've been quickened. We came out of organized religion, right? Because we were quickened. Quickened by the word to see that it was wrong. We love the people, but we don't love the doctrines anymore, right? We were quickened to the word, and we don't love what we used to love. No more than we love the sin that we used to sin of. But I hope you understand my point. See, when we came into message, we didn't jump in this message and even the day you come into message, receive the Holy Ghost and everything lined up. That's what people think. They don't want to talk to me because my memory at 71 years old is still too good. And they say, oh boy, when I first heard it, I just lined right up. And I thought, Lord, God help me, because it's taken me 40 years to try to get lined up. Well, you're just slow. Well, I'm talking about those that said they died it in just a minute, because they're with me too. Because I can remember all of it. Of trying to talk to people about things they were doing that wasn't right according to the Bible. But you see, when we get over on the other side, it's easy to say, you know, well, I just lined up immediately. No, the quickening power comes on a gradual basis as to the word, because it's when the word is revealed is the quickening power. It is not when you read it. It is not when you even agree with it. Brother Ram said people will sympathize with the message. You know what sympathize with it is? In other words, they go along with it. But they just won't step on over into it. See, the quickening power. Where are you at tonight? Why are you in Lula, Georgia? What brought you here? What keeps you here? Is it just a place to go to church? There's a lot of them a whole lot closer to you, you know. I want to believe it's the quickening power that quickens us to the word that we hear. And then we get hungry because we hear more word. And that's what's wrong with the people of the message, right? I know it's a bad illustration, but I've always tried to tell you, you know, if you're feeding an old cow, Joe and Rachel's especially going to get me when she gets back. Because, you know, she tells me to put so much feed into feeding her chickens and rabbits and dogs. Well, they're going to be without food when they get back. Because I think they're hungry. Well, I pour a little extra in. Yeah. Why? Because that's the way I am in the gospel. But I've told you the old story about, you know, you got a cow and she's getting one bale of hay and that's all she's got. And 20 years later, she's still eating one bale of hay. Well, something happens, a truck falls and a bale falls off and she gets two bales. Well, boy, she's sweet. She loves it. She's getting fat. And she just, and that's the way people are. That's why they don't want them to come around Lula, see. They don't want them to hear the word that comes from Lula because, see, they're afraid that they're going to get taste of two bales of hay and they won't have come to it. You know? And but I think it's the quickening power that's brought us all together. Right? I think it's the quickening power that's going to put the bride in the rapture. And we're not talking about those who go by the grave. They are waiting on us to come to the place that final quickening power, because I'm looking for that. Brother Ren said, one day God will anoint a church. He said, she'll do in 1 year what theologists tried to do in 2000, but said she's doing it now. Amen. See, we don't want to quote that. That's what I'm trying to tell you. The day you got the new birth, that quickening power started quickening that body. And it's just been quickening us to stop sinning. It quickened us to the message. It's quickened us to the revealed word as we walk in the message. And it makes us hungry for more word. The quickening power. The prophet said, I gave you one quote in there, he said, shoot it, burn it, do anything you want to. He said, you can't destroy it. There's no way to destroy the quickening power. But you see what I'm talking about? We're looking at a quickening power like it's something that's got to be some anointing to come down. What does your prophet say the anointing is? Supreme power in control. Is that right? Jesus walks into the temple one day, takes a Bible, stands up and reads. This day, this scripture is fulfilled. Goes over and sits down. No running, screaming, hollering, no great anointing, no lights shining, flashing. The greatest anointing that had ever been in the world was sitting there. The most quickening power that this world had ever seen was sitting in that seat. And who understood that that was what was going on? I believe in it. I'm looking forward to it. The prophet said one of these days there'll be such a baptism of the Holy Ghost that'll come from heaven to strike this bride that'll fill every fiber of our being and we'll go into rapture. I'm looking for that. But if we're not lined up with the quickening power to become a Christian, to get rid of sin of our daily lives and walking like, you know, things we didn't understand, if it didn't quicken us to the message and brought us to the basis of the word that this message is the important thing in our lives. See, because in this message is the change of the body. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. Paul was telling us about the change. He was telling us, if we can just realize we're justified and see really what God is talking about, a justification. You remember I told you, read Invisible Union, you hear the prophet explaining it. He's explaining justification, but he's explained it in three stages. Stage one, you get justified, chops off your past sins. Stage two, you come to a place that it says, though you never done it. Stage three, he says, the real you never did do it. Now, how much can we do and talk about as I said a moment ago, are the things that we've done in life. But do you realize that God so justified that? Until he showed you one day that you was pure from that. Then he began to open up the word unto us to show us that, you know, we done it, but God has put it in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us. But you see, then it comes to a stage of seeing the real you. Never did do it. What is the real you, Brother Gary? That soul that's within you that come from God is the real you. Right? Well, you know, if that soul come from God is come and dwell in this body, then I'm not going to get another body. He laid claim on this one, and he's going to work a way, and maybe that's not a good term of doing, but he's going to make a way that I can walk into that place, that glorification can be here upon this earth. Because we're going to be changed here. The prophet said, we cannot. Did you hear him it's the rising of the sun, I'm pretty sure it's in that one. He said, we can't meet God in these bodies. He said, these bodies are sin. Now what's he saying? They're a product of sin. He said, we're going to have that new body to meet him in the air. Not another body. This body made new. And go meet him in the air. So then we got to be dealing with the changes being here. Don't think it'll change you going up in the air somewhere and you're going to start out, fat and ugly. No. And then we're going to go up so far and we're just going to start fading down till we get to the 18, 20, and then we're going to be up made looking young, I don't believe that's what happened to Abraham and Sarah. I've told you what I thought. I believe Abraham woke up one morning and he looked over there and he said, "Ooh, I'm in bad shape because there's a young woman laying over here and I'm an old man. What did I do last night? How drunk did I get?" But then he looks and he says, "Sarah, is that you?" She looks over and she says, "Abraham, is that you?" I believe it was done so quick until they didn't know anything about it. If you're getting under, it's not going to be something that you just keep on going and you finally get this way. And the way I think a lot of people talks about eternal life, that it starts at the guts and works its way out through this way and out this way. Because they know the prophet said it comes from the inside out. Well, I don't think that way. I don't think it works that way. I think it's the word revealed to you. If I don't get nothing to you tonight, get one thing. This word made alive is the quickening power that I'm talking about. We have the mechanics and the basis of the word sowed down in our hearts, yes. But we need the dynamics of that word that we have sowed down in our heart. I agree with you on that. I know that. That's what we need. We need the quickening to do that. But it won't be done just at one time. It's on a gradual basis. God doesn't, we couldn't stand it. Oh, it would be wonderful, wouldn't it? To be sitting somewhere and God just opened the entire Bible and we could see everything. That would be wonderful. But he can't do that. The human mind couldn't comprehend it. It couldn't stand it. So he does it real slow and gradual. Sure, he's opened our understanding. We talk about, we understand one God. We understand water baptism. We understand no eternal hell. We understand marriage and divorce. We can quote, 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 quote. But how much of that has been revealed? How much has that been revealed? Can we handle like the prophet would say then? Here comes the former rain, the teaching of the word. And he said, then the latter rain falls to quicken that. Then one day he turns around and he follows that line of thinking all the way, you know, former rain, then latter rain. Former rain, then latter rain. Then one day he said it like this. He said, here comes the latter rain with the former rain on it. I don't understand what he's saying. Very simple. What we receive tonight, tomorrow. What we receive, the quickening power of the understanding of the word tonight, tomorrow is another day. It becomes a former rain. So I'm giving you some former rain. Are you listening? For the next message or so, some former rain. Look up what it means by glorification. Look up what it means glorified. I don't want you to raise your hand to see how many of you have done it, but look it up. You might find out the prophet is right when he says, what is this great translation? The most important question or thought that anyone could ever, let me put it this way, the most important question that I can ever find in the message anywhere that anybody asks him. Now, I'm not throwing off on the other questions. But that was, to me, was a sealed, signed, definite question come from a person that really wanted something. And he said, just a change. Just a change. Then he explains it. Paul, how do we get this understanding of the redemption of the body? It's just a change. If the spirit that was in him be in you, it will quicken your mortal body. It will turn you from sin. I told you that I didn't get into all that because, see, you can just take and read it. Read down through there. As a matter of fact, the eighth chapter, read, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. No, coming down. Read all that. It's dealing with flesh. And Paul comes to a basis there in Romans about 6 or somewhere in there. He said, the things I would, I do not. The things I do, I would not. And, you know, we get all, well, what does he mean? He was simply explaining that the outside man was wanting to follow after the law of the flesh. But the inside man was wanting to follow after the law of the spirit. And he had a war continually. Is that not where we're at? Is there not a war in your life? Come on, is there not a war in your life that's going on? I told you that was so much taught then until the Baptist taught it that Paul wasn't born again. That he was trying to explain his old life. No, he's already born again. He's explaining what we do. Paul said then, with the law of God, I serve the inner man. But he said, with the law of the flesh. He wasn't saying he automatically yielded to the flesh. No. He was saying that we are automatically in the flesh and are following after the flesh. The Bible says we need to mortify the deeds of the body. Is that right? Make to die the deeds of the body. To bring ourselves under subjection. You mean we're going to get to a place one of these days we're not going to have any trouble? No. I'm sorry. I never have agreed that we would get to the place that, you know. No. We're human. But we've got to get to a place to find out that it's He that has chosen us. And that He's living in us. And we have an advocate with the Father. Or why would we need an advocate if we didn't do wrong? Well, I'll tell you what now, Brother Dale, you get me all confused. No, you was born that way. I just expose your confusion. Think on these things. There ain't nothing Satan can do to take away from you what God's revealed to you. Huh? You can walk on what God has revealed to you. Philip did. Right? Enoch did. Right? Elijah did. Quickening power. As I said, and I'll say it one more time because I know that's what people think about. They think a quickening is some rushing mighty wind that drops down out of heaven. David probably looked out there when he was talking to Saul. And you know what he put it on? He said, there was a bear come after one of my sheep. And he said, I rose up and killed it. He said, there was a lion come in one day. And he said, I just rose up and killed it. He said, so will it be with that Philistine. See, he had no fear. Because I believe David was like this. Let me walk out there and face the giant, even if he kills me. He was a human, mortal thinking probably. He said, when that bear run out there, naturally I was a little scared of the bear. The lion come out, I was a little afraid of it. I'm sure I realize that feller's a whole lot bigger than I am. But said, if I'm called of God, there ain't nothing going to get in my way. He had been anointed to be king, right? And there was nothing could kill David until he sat on the throne. He was not afraid of anything. Folks, the new birth, the things that I've talked about tonight, the coming into the message, the receiving, the opening of our understanding of the Word of God. To me, I was sitting there praying a while ago. I thought, God, if I miss it, I'm happy. I've seen what the prophets desired to look into. Be happy about it. Yet we're so down and out, and you know. No. At least he's quickened me of that much. How much are we quickened, folks? Because the quickening power I'm talking about is how much word has been revealed. Not how much shouting, glory, hallelujah, some anointing come down out of the clouds, and I believe in every bit of it. You can't take away from me the things that I've seen and I've talked to you about it over the years. So you know that I believe in the anointing and I believe in seeing things. I believe in personal things. But yet, all of that can be imitated. But Satan cannot bring the word by word. That's what I depend on. The quickening of the word is the quickening power that I desire. Because to me, that's the dynamics to the mechanics. So you have a lot of word laying in you, you don't realize it. I've always said I love to have revealed what's in my head. The knowledge that I have for the message, I'd love for it to be revealed. But you know, he revealed as I have need of. Quickening power to quicken us from sinners to saints. And that began a work. Now the prophet, remember, who is this Melchizedek? It's already started. This body's going to be redeemed. It's already started. The quickening power is already working within it to bring it to the right place. Walk in the Word and let's see it. How did the prophet say it? He said, walk in the Word and watch it unfold. The quickening power. Let's stand. Come on, musician. The quickening power has already started. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You say, if I just have seen anything, if I just seen anything, you know, if I could just see this, the quickening power, what else do you want? It's already here to bring us to that place. Go ahead, Brother Dean. Exactly. Right. Amen. The quickening power. If he just quickened, what did the prophet say? If God would just, let me use it like this. If God would quicken our understanding, he said there's angels in this room. Right? You think that something happens and maybe you think, well, boy, I was really good at Jeffrey and him. They had a little incident one day there with the water on the road, and it was, the truck was just switching from side to side, and if there'd been anybody there, they would have, you know who was there. See, why don't we thank him for what we see? He's trying to get us to recognize that he's here with us. Some people, he opens their understanding enough to see it. But you know what the prophet said? And that ought to make everybody in the building rejoice. I believe it. I've seen him. That's the reason I believe it. The quickening power. To quicken us from dead, mortal human beings to alive Christians that are living in bodies is going to be changed. But it's already done as far as God is concerned. We just got to get whatever God says about it, what he says, how can you say it, as far as he's concerned. We got to get as far as he's concerned in us. You understand what I mean? If we get as far as he's concerned in the sight of us, then, you know, we'll see it like he sees it. We'll see angels. We'll see beings. Why? Because we believe in it. We believe in the supernatural. Anybody who believes in the supernatural has to believe you can see things. Yeah. Go ahead, Brad.
137 in Sparrow.
137. Anybody has a need? Because I believe that same God is here.
Would you be free from your burden
of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you?
Would you or evil?
See, he'll open our understanding.
There's wonderful power in
the He'll quicken us to life.
There is power
to see angels, to see things.
There is power,
to be quickened.
Power in the
to be made alive.
You be free from your passion and pride.
There's power in the blood.
Power in the blood.
Would you for cleansing to Calvary's time? Anybody have a need? See, if he just opened our understanding tonight, we'd see him. He wants us to see him. If he just get us in the right place to see and understand.
Would you be wider, much wider than snow? There's power in the blood.
I want to know.
Power in the blood.
And I see that God has brought me and my wife here. He brought us as far as all of him. You know
why?
working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you live daily in praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood.
Amen.
Power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power.
Father, you heard our brother. And Lord, his words are our words. We just want to be what you want us to be, Father. We want to be that in a family and in everything, Lord. Just everything, Father. And let your love be with each and every one of us. And guide us, Lord, in understanding of you. Bring to pass what our brother has asked. Because, Lord, we believe you. And we thank you. Just come and work a work. A work of redemption. In these old bodies that we live in. We love you, Father. And we thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just go believe it and walk on. Wonder-working power. And anybody else that just have a need?
Would you be wider,
what's wider than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Wounds are washed in the life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power. In the blood of the Lamb, there's power, power, wonder-working power. In the precious blood of the Lamb. Most of you know that my wife's been having trouble for about 8 or 9 months with a bad hurting in her side and into her back and things. And you know, she's going to the doctors and they've been checking out things. And she had to go there the other day for an injection into the spine to find out if it's arthritis and things. And you know, and she said, when we were there in the car, she said, just pray for me, you know, this will be all right. Well, you see, you know how I am. We thank God for doctors. We go to them. We do what they tell us, outside of when it becomes wrong or harmful. We do what they tell us to do. And we know and realize that a lot of times we get harm out of things because they are practicing medicine. They just. But you know what I asked? I said, Lord, and you know what I've got inside my, I've got there in the medicine cabinet. I've told you, sanctify the medicine you take. Ask God to take the medicine that you're taking. And it doesn't matter if they give you the wrong medication, God will make it right. Because he's God. If you'll believe it. So I just prayed a simple little prayer and I said, Lord, you know we've believe you. But just you use the doctors. And let this work. Because we believe you. We know who the healer is. Well, she'll tell you in a hurry that pain that she's been in for 8 months is not all totally gone, no, but it's a whole lot better. Well, thank God. Well, we're not bragging about the doctors. We're bragging about God. Because he's the one that takes care of everything. Pray and ask God to say, Lord, let this work. Like Brother Tom said there one day, he said, we're going along with your program. Well, he said, you get in there, you won't find nothing. Well, when they got in there, they didn't find anything. Well, that was wonderful. But he still said, we're going along with your program. Thank God for any way that he heals. People swear and say, no, I ain't going to take no medicine, but you let them get sick and hurt enough, and they'll take pain pills and everything else, but not throwing off on nobody. Just being honest and straight. We know who the healer is. Brother Brown said, God knew that we would need that in this last days because of the heart problems, you know, of your heart, and that little nitroglycerin pill. He said, God allowed them to bring that to pass because he knew we would need it. Even though he was a prophet, why didn't he say, well, no, bless God now, Meaty, you're not going to go to no doctor and get that growth taken out. They were going to get it taken out. And God came on the scene. Thank God. But the point is, he was on his way. Why can't we believe in healing? And believe in the doctors and believe in that and thank God for it? You know? And see, get away from our super duper faith to getting down to just believing God. That's the way I get my healing. It's just saying, God, I believe you. And your word says it. And I'm just not going to say anything else contrary to it, but your word says it. And I'm believing it. What about it? Think on these things. Anybody else that have a need? Go ahead, brother. Father, we send this prayer clause. They're going for the purpose, so Lord, for all things to be taken care of.
When this life is over.
We know that in life a lot of things takes place, sicknesses and heartaches. We know who the healer is. And by your stripes, Lord, we believe that our brother's healed. And we ask you to just come on the scene now and make it manifest. Can we get a testimony? We believe it in Jesus' name. Anybody else before we go? By and by, fly away. The shadows off this life are gone. I fly away. Remember the Bible studies. The fellowship meeting Saturday. You want to go with us, let us know. Then remember our brother Keith coming for the weekend. Pray that the Lord would use him to bless us. Because that's what I want. I want my understanding open. But I want a revelation. I want it revealed to me. More weary days in bed. You're dismissed. Sing that to one another as you're leaving. Father, just bless each one. Give everybody a safe journey. We love you in Jesus' name.